nations of the world, the one that John recognizes being the one who would take away the sins of the world. So let's turn to His Word. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father. And the Word became flesh. And this Word that you hold in your lap is Jesus Christ this morning. It's not just a book. It's not a book of fables. It's not a book written by men. It's a book written by men who were overcome by the Spirit of God. And God spoke to them and wrote through them. And this is a message this morning, God's message from God's Lamb. The book of Ephesians we've been studying for the last several months now. And we recognize that chapters 1, 2, 3, and part of 4 dealt with the doctrine of God, the teachings of God, the foundational truths that you and I need to understand in order that when we got to the middle part of chapter 4 and we're into chapter 5 and into chapter 6, it gives us the reason and the motivation to do the things that God has called us to do. We have doctrine, the beginning, the introduction of this book, and then we have duty. Chapter 4 says that we should be worthy of the call. And if you remember, the word worthy is the word axios, which means let your doctrine and your duty be equal. That let the knowledge of Jesus Christ fill you and the power of the Holy Spirit taking that knowledge, moving you into obedience. Some of you may not understand the Christian life, and it's that. It's understanding who God is. It's receiving the forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ, receiving the Lamb, the one who took your place on the cross, that was slaughtered for you. Receive that forgiveness. Understand that truth. And because of that, you live the Christian life. See, for some of you, think living the Christian life is just something you have to do in your own strength and by your own power. And it's more difficult than you could have ever imagined, and you can't do it, and you become frustrated with it, and you quit. But that's not what Scripture says, and that's not what Scripture tells us, that He is the power within us. God's Word is the direction that we need, and that's what we see today in Scripture. Because you are a Christian, because you know the Lord, because you love the Lord, He has given us direction that we're going to see this morning to help us in our journey to follow Him. So let's look this morning in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. We'll spend most of our time in verse 16 this morning, but it's good for us to take all this in context. Verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the New American Standard. Now let me read to you the New English Standard Version. It says the same thing. But I want us to just to see how the different words that might have been used can give us even a deeper understanding of this verse. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. If we're not careful, we can look at these verses as verses that you might think have to do with time management. You know, living the Christian life is just going out and getting a day timer and keeping up with everything that I do on 15-minute increments. And that's not what this verse is talking about. If we're not careful, we will legalize our Christianity and think that we must keep all these appointments and keep everything in line. And that's not what the apostle, that's not what the Holy Spirit is warning us to do this morning. These verses deal with much more important things than that. These verses deal with good and evil. These verses deal with right and wrong. These verses deal with righteousness and sin. These verses deal with eternal things versus temporal things. And God wants us to see, not that it is a complex verse, but it is a very specific verse, not about a moment in time, but it's talking about the opportunities that we have throughout our day. That we're to be wise, not unwise. We're to make the most of that time. As the English Standard Version says, the best use of that time. So this verse begs this question for all of us this morning. What are you living for? What are you living for? What kind of opportunities do you look for? What makes you happy when you have a full day ahead of you and you have many choices along the way? What are the things that you gravitate towards? What are the things that you might choose? And this verse is telling us to choose the right thing over the wrong thing, to choose the righteous thing, the thing that brings honor to the Lord, not the sinful thing, to choose the eternal over the temporal. That's the message of this scripture this morning. So how are we doing? Psalms 90, verse 12. This is Moses wrote this psalm. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Notice there the word number. If you look at that in the original language, it means to weigh and to measure. It means to take an account of what God has given you. We are to place each day in the balance and make the tip of the scales tip in a way that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. Is that your conscious thought in the morning when you wake up? That the choices that I make at the end of the day, the choices for God outweigh all the choices that I might even prefer for myself? That's the thought in these verses. And let me just pile on a little bit, because we need to understand that we have been given a set amount of time. Tomorrow is not promised. God has given us today. You go out into, if you visit, you go to someone's funeral, you realize that it's just an exclamation point to the truth of these verses. You go out into the graveyard and you see that someone was born in 1910 and they died in 1970. And what you see that's left of their life is just that little dash in the middle. That's what you and I get, the dash. What are you doing with your dash is what God wants to know. Hebrews 9:27 reminds us, as it is appointed for men to die once. That date has already been set and secured in the mind of God. There is a day that you and I are going to die. And, you know, not to get too morbid, it's not a morbid thing, but every year you go through that day. You know your birth date. You don't know your death date, but you have lived past that date every year. And then we realize, it's not that we're just going to die, but after this, notice that we're going to face the judgment. There's going to be a reckoning. If you are a Christian, then your life will prove that out. And you won't stand in judgment of your sins any longer. You will stand at a place called the Bema Seat Judgment, where your works will be judged. And those things that you chose that were preferences, those things that did not have eternal value, the Bible says those will be burnt off of you. You won't carry those into glory. But those things that you did for eternal reasons, the things that you did that honored the Lord, the things that you did to use your spiritual gifts, the opportunities that you seized, that's what this verse is saying. Those things will not be burned. The Bible says that those are like precious metals and gold and diamonds. Those things you will carry into eternity with you. So what are we doing with the time that God's given us? Are we redeeming it? We see this in Job chapter 14, 5. Since his days are determined, our days are determined, the number of his months is with God. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. There's nothing that you can do to live longer than God has already determined. Now, I'm all for eating right. I'm all for exercising. I'm all for getting rest. I think you should, because you are God's temple. The Holy Spirit resides within you. But listen, there is a point in time that God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. He's going to take you into His presence, and then you'll enter into eternal bliss. And at some point, the rapture will occur, and your spirit and your body will be reunited in heaven forever and ever. But I want us to see that there's nothing more important than what I'm going to share with you this morning if you're a Christian. The psalmist said in Psalm 89:48, What can man live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? And the answer is absolutely not. See, we're on a mission, and the clock is ticking, and you and I have just a certain amount of time, and Scripture asks the question, what are you doing with that time? Several weeks ago, on I think a Sunday night, I shared this story, but I think it bears repeating because some of you obviously weren't there because you had other things to do, and it really, really helps us understand the power of this verse and the power of that we have a limited amount of time. I read a story about a little boy that loved to watch the grandfather clock go off. How many of you used to like to do that? I mean, I know I did. I mean, you know, I guess with all the gadgets that kids have to play with today, that's no big deal anymore. It's probably a boring thing. But the little boy was ready for lunch, and he'd always wait for the clock to chime 12. And so he sat there and it started ringing 1, 2, and he'd count 3, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11. And usually the thing would stop at 12, but it just kept clanging or making that noise. The clock was ringing to 13, 14, and it stopped at 15, and it just terrified the little boy. So he runs into the kitchen and he says, Mommy, 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 it's later than it's ever been before. And that's the thought here. Today, it's later than it's ever been before. You are one day closer to the day that you're going to heaven if you're saved. And listen, if you're lost, you are one day closer to spending an eternity separated from God forever in a place called hell. What are you doing with your time? So let's answer this question this morning. I think it's a fair question, and I think the answers are found there in Scripture. How can the Christian make the best use of the time that our Lord has given us? And I think these verses answer that question. Look again at verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. I believe the first truth that we see out of Scripture this morning is this. God wants me, God wants us to be alert. You might even put the word focused with the time that He has given us. Alert and focused. That's what the word careful means. I really don't have a right to just go out and do anything that I want to do. I need to be careful with what I do. That word means to be accurate. It means to we need to live an exact life. We need to live a life that is clear of distractions. I met a fellow this week, and he was asking me about living for the Lord, and we started talking about distractions. And it was a day we were outside, and the sun was one of those warm. It was a cool day, but the sun was warming us. And I said, look up at the sun, and I said, let me just put my hand in between that sunshine and you. I said, that's a distraction. You're not enjoying the fullness of that sunshine and the warmth that sunshine brings. And Christian, that's what you and I need to be careful of. That's what we need to be standing on alert. That's what we need to be focused on the Lord and never allowing anything to get in between the Lord Jesus Christ and us. So might I ask you this morning, things cooling off between you and the Lord? You're not enjoying the warmth of the fellowship that you once had? And if that be the case, then the question must be asked, why? Is it an attitude? Is it a habit that you've allowed to come into your life? At first you thought it wasn't so bad, and now you realize, wow, this thing's got a hold of me. I don't have a hold of it. Is it a decision that somehow that you've made, and this distraction in your life is keeping you from the sunlight of the glory of God, and you're a cold Christian? It's because you haven't been alert. You haven't been focused on the Lord. You've allowed distractions to come into our life. But God is calling us to see clearly. God is calling us to see clearly so we can move forward by His light, by His direction. We don't live the Christian life nonchalantly. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, we examine this life. We live carefully as we walk. We don't just walk blindly. Have you kind of been on automatic pilot recently in your spiritual life? Kind of on cruise control? You're not driving, you're not giving gas, you're not putting brakes on, you're just sliding on by down the highway. God says you can't do that. Are you and am I living a life that God wants me to live? That God wants me to live. Have you taken some time recently to give real serious thought about how you're living your Christian life? And I'm not just talking about 30 minutes on a Sunday morning or maybe on a Sunday night. I mean sitting down, opening God's Word and saying, Lord, am I redeeming this time that You've given me? Lord, am I taking advantage of every spiritual, eternal opportunity that is presented to me? And you have to be honest with yourself. If the answer is no, that's a sin. Because you're not being a good steward of what God has given you. Hopefully the answer is yes more than no. But this is a question that each of us must do. So when was the last time you really took some time to evaluate your life and ask the question, am I focused on the things that are important to God? And am I making the important things of God important to me? Do you remember last week we made a list of how the person lives an unwise life? It wouldn't hurt just to go back and review just a moment, because we're called to be careful not to do those things. Let me just run through them real quickly. There were six things that we went through last week. We shouldn't live as a fool. We should live as a wise man. But so then, how does a fool live so we can be careful not to live that way? Well, we saw in Scripture last week that the fool says there is no God. There's no room for another God because the fool says, I am He. I am God. I do what I want to when I want to. I am my own man. I do it my own way. I believe how I want to believe. I do what I want to. And that's the fool. Now, he may not say, I don't believe in God. That brings us to the second point. The fool lives like there is no God. He's in the Bible Belt, so he knows he'd be ridiculed if he says there's no God. He just lives like there isn't one. Thirdly, last week we saw that the fool lives like that he's going to live forever here. And we've just been reminded by Scripture that our days are numbered. We are destined to die and to face judgment. But the fool never thinks about that. So we shouldn't live like that. Fourthly, we saw that the fool will not accept instruction. The fool will hear this message this morning and walk out of here and say, this ain't for me. I don't want this. I'm not going to accept that instruction. Fifthly, we saw that the fool is prideful. That's pride. To hear the eternal, inerrant, sufficient Word of God and think that you have a better idea. And then the fool is reckless. Reckless. So we shouldn't live that way. We should live the converse of that. We should live like there is a God. We should live a life that is surrendered to Him. We should live a life believing that one day we will live in heaven forever. We should live a life that delights in godly instruction. Live a life that we're not prideful, but we're humble. Live a life where we're not reckless, but we're careful. That's what this verse says. So how are we doing? Are you living an alert, focused Christian life? Well, the second truth, admonition, exhortation that we see, again in verse 15, is that God wants me to be consistent with the time. So we see focused and alert, and secondly, we see consistent with the time that He's given me. Again, notice verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. How you walk, what does that mean? It's the Greek word peripateo. And notice what it means. You think the word walk means just to locomote, to get from one place to another. But this word is much bigger than that. Notice it means that it's the way you live. It's how you regulate your life. It's how you conduct yourself, what you're like at church, what you're like at school, what you're like at home, how you live at work, all those variables in our life. It's not how you walk around as far as getting from point A to point B. It's how you live in the midst of your living. So the word walk means the same thing as lifestyle. So let's look at that verse again and let's change out the word walk for lifestyle. Therefore, be careful what type of lifestyle you have or you live. Now that makes a little bit more sense to us in our culture and our language. How would you describe your lifestyle? One that honors God in your decisions and how you use your time and opportunities, or one that honors you? It's easy to be able to discern that. You know the decisions that we make, that you make. John 2:6, it makes it so important that we understand that it binds us, it helps us be seen for who we are by how we walk. Notice this. He who says he abides in Him. Let me translate that for you. He who says that he's a Christian ought himself also to walk just as he, that word he is for Jesus Christ. We should walk as He walked. So what are we learning this morning? How should we live the consistent life? Well, we live like Jesus lived. That's how we do it. And some of them might say, well, I don't know Jesus. Well, then you must be saved. You must realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, that you can't save yourself, that you can't do enough good works to undo all the bad works, that there was only one good work that was done, and that was on the cross of Calvary. And if you'll call upon the name of the Lord to save you, He will. And when He saves you, He'll change you. You'll repent, you'll believe, you'll confess, and you'll be adopted by God Himself. And when that happens, and the Holy Spirit comes and resides within you, and here's the deal, because He resides in you, and He has control of your life, you walk like Jesus walked. Now, does that describe your life, Christian? If you say, no, it doesn't at all, then could it be that you're not a Christian at all? These are some things you really need to consider. And just because you're in a church doesn't make you any more a Christian, what, than being in McDonald's makes you a hamburger? So to walk and be consistent in your walk and be consistent in the Lord and be consistent in your time and with the opportunities that God has given you. So what road are you on this morning? What direction are you traveling? Not just walking, but your life. Where is it taking you? Where are you headed? And whatever direction that you're on is where you're going to end up. You know, I've never gone the direction to Nashville and ended up in Lebanon. I could stop at every gas station going west, and everybody, where are you headed? I'm going to Lebanon. And they see me get on the interstate going west, and think, that guy's full. He's not going to Lebanon. I don't care what he says. I don't care what kind of car he drives and how much gas he's got. Well, I guess he's going to Lebanon if he's going to circumnavigate the whole world and drive 24,000 miles to get to Lebanon by going west. I guess that's possible, but not probable. So this verse is telling us once we start living for the Lord, we continue living for the Lord. Once you start taking advantage of the opportunities that God has given you, you continue to take advantage of the opportunities. Can I tell you that you and I are on a mission here? We're not on vacation. That the world is not a big vacation for us. That your retirement one day is waiting in heaven. That you and I are on a mission. The same mission that the Lord was on, to seek and save the lost. Not that we can do it, but we know one who can. Am I carefully and consistently watching my life and the direction of my life? If you were to honestly take a look at your life this morning, would you have to say that you are more of a hit and miss Christian? Kind of being tossed to and fro all over the place? Or are you one that's taking advantage of every opportunity and you're being careful to do it? So these verses this morning, they're calling the Christian to be focused. Are you? To be alert. Are we? To be consistent with our lifestyle and the choices that we make. Yes, we should. And then finally this morning, as we prepare and begin to get ready for the Lord's table, because what's going to happen, God is going to move us to make a decision. If we've not been living that way, we're going to have to repent of that before we can take of this precious table of the Lord. So thirdly this morning, God wants us to redeem the time that He has given to us. Let's make it even more personal. God wants me to redeem the time that He has given to me. Notice there in verse 16, making the most of your time, the New American Standard says. The English Standard says, making the best use of the time. Redeeming the time is the thought here in the New King James Version. When you start your day, is that what you think about? I've got a whole day before me. I want to redeem this day. What does that word mean? Agorizo. I think I've included it there in your notes. How do you redeem the day? It means that you buy it up. It means that you purchase the day. It means that it is a word that goes along with going into the marketplace. The thing that God wants us to see this morning, as it relates to going into the marketplace, is that you find something on sale that you really need and you're not sure if the sale is going to last till tomorrow or not, and you take the opportunity to take it off the shelf and purchase it today because it's the prudent and being a good steward of what God has given you, the thing to do. The thought here is that opportunities come and go and we should never let them go. When you have a chance to help somebody, split second chance to help. They won't need it as much tomorrow. It may be too late to help them tomorrow. You help them today. That's redeeming your time. That's the thought here. When you have a chance to lighten the load on somebody's life, you don't wait till tomorrow. You make the changes and the choices to do it now. You don't wait to one day think, well, you know, I'll just start giving more when I have more. No, you don't do that because you'll never do that. You'll never have enough before you think you can afford to start giving. You give today. Today is the appointed time. Today is the moment. Today is the opportunity for the opportunity. This is what he's talking about. So you buy up this time. The opportunity doesn't last forever. Do not let it go by. When you have a chance to love the Lord, love the Lord. When you have a chance to love someone else, love someone else. When you have a chance to use your spiritual gift, don't say no, say yes. When you have a chance to be in Bible study, say yes, I'll be there. I'm going to purchase this time because this Bible study may be the very thing God is wanting to say to me. And if I don't take advantage of this opportunity, I'm going to miss what He needs to say to me. And yes, He'll eventually teach it to me later on down the road, but I want to know it today and not tomorrow. Now let me ask you, are you living your Christian life like that? Is that how you determine what you do and what you don't do? Well, if it's not, then Scripture says that's how you do it. So each morning I face a new day. And in that day I face choices that I can either redeem that day or I can waste that day. I can make that day and use it for the best use possible, which would be for the glory of God. And I make that choice because it's worthy of the cost that I may have to put into it. And it's worthy of my investment to honor the Lord and praise Him with my choices and my life. See, if you're a student, you study to be prepared to do God's work. If you're at work, you work hard because it's a good thing for Christians to put in a solid day's work for a good pay that you make. If you have time off, then use that leisure for the glory of God. Rest your body. It's not wrong to take vacation. Please don't get me wrong. Your body needs rest. You can't work all the time. But make sure that you do something that will bring rest to your body and peace to your soul as you plan those vacations. Have you ever gone on vacation and you come back and you're more tired than you were before you went? What kind of vacation is that? That's not one, I believe, that takes advantage of the opportunity. What you and I are doing with all the, what are we doing with all the opportunities that we have? Think about in ministry. You reading the Bible like you could and should? Memorizing Scripture like you could? Taking the time to come to Bible study? Taking time to serve the body of believers? You know we're called to do that. Are you involved in a small group here called Sunday School? I know our women are meeting on Thursday nights. Are you in a group like that where people can love you and encourage you and you can love them and encourage them? Let me ask you this. In your mind, has Sunday school somehow become optional? If it's become optional to you, you know what? You're not redeeming your time. You're not taking advantage of the opportunities that God has given you. And the list goes on and on. So you need to examine what you're doing and why you're doing it and make sure that you are redeeming that time. Let me give you two practical things and then we'll go to the Lord's table. How can I do this? What are some things I can do? Well, in one area, I believe you can buy up the time in preparation or by preparation. Those of you that are in school, stay in school because God's preparing you for some mission work. Whatever you're doing, very few of you will stand behind a pulpit, but your pulpit will be your job, your congregation will be your employee, and how you treat them will be your message every day. So buy up the time as you prepare in school and or maybe in the job that you have. You're preparing to be better, in a better position. Not so much that makes more money, but in a better place to serve people. And then there are those, and all of us should be preparing for ministry. Now, I'm not talking about going to seminary. I'm just talking about taking our spiritual gift that God has given to us and develop it. Work it out. Use it for the glory of God and for the benefit of your brother and sister in Christ. So buy up the time in preparation. And here's another one. Buy up the time in relationships. Every opportunity that you have to love your wife, love her. Every time you have an opportunity to forgive your wife, forgive her. Every time you have an opportunity to encourage your husband, encourage him. Every time you have an opportunity to be a blessing to your children within the bounds of Scripture, bless them. They're growing up, aren't they? Boy, you can remember when they were tiny and you could tote them around and now they're toting you around, right? So buy up the time in relationships. Don't take your marriage for granted. I heard this week and was reminded about a couple that got married and went straight to the funeral home. You think, what kind of honeymoon is that? Well, the husband went in and he bought 2 burial plots and took care of every thing that needed to be taken care of, because he knew that he was never going to leave his wife, and his wife had never promised to never leave him. So that was just a sign and symbol of their forever love together in this world, that one was going to have to bury the other. Wow, what a statement. Your church family, buy up the time. Sean and Donna Wilson used to serve us and serve this church. Now they're in heaven. Christina Slagle used to sit right over there. Breast cancer took her to glory. Better make sure that we're loving one another. Our mission field, take advantage of your work. Take advantage of your school. Take advantage of these opportunities for the glory of God. So this morning, can I just ask you these questions as we prepare for the table of the Lord? Are you redeeming your time? Are you alert and focused? And you prove it by the decisions that you make. Are you consistent in your walk? Did you have a chance to choose the eternal over the temporal? You're pretty consistent in choosing the eternal. And then are you buying up opportunities? You don't let it sit on the shelf. You don't think, well, I'll just see if the price goes down anymore. No, if you see it's a godly opportunity, you invest in it and you jump on it today and you don't wait till tomorrow, because we don't know what tomorrow might bring. So would you bow your heads with me this morning? And if God has revealed anything in your life that is keeping you from enjoying the full brightness and warmth of the relationship that you have in Christ, would you confess that as sin? And ask the Holy Spirit to be very specific with you, to show you what's keeping you from being alert, what's keeping you from being consistent, what is keeping you from taking advantage of every opportunity that comes up. And would you forsake that this morning? Now, on the other hand, I believe that many of you are faithful. You're not perfect. None of us are. But you have taken advantage, and you're thankful that you did, and people are blessed because you have, and you just need to thank God that He's taught you, that He's shown you, and you've been obedient, and there's no glory belongs to you, but it all belongs to the Lord. So let's thank Him for those opportunities that we've taken advantage of, and let's ask Him for more. Prepare for the communion table. This is a ordinance or an order or a commandment from our Lord. He said we are to remember Him when we take this. We are to consider what He's done on the cross. We're to consider His life, as we already this morning spoken of that, and to live as He lived. So all those things come into play as we prepare our hearts to take of this bread, which represents His body, to take of this juice, which represents His blood. And we're not tasting it. We're not seeing if we prefer it. We are consuming it, which means, by a symbolic way, we are committing and surrendering ourselves to Him. And if you know the Lord and you love the Lord and you've confessed your sins and you would say, I'm a Christian this morning because Jesus Christ has forgiven me and He's adopted me, and I'm a child of God, then we'd invite you to participate in this communion. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can't participate, because this isn't food that you would enjoy being in a lost state. This is heavenly stuff. Unless you want to receive Jesus Christ this morning. Maybe for the first time in your life, you've understood a Christian message. And God has shown you that you're not the person that He wants you to be. That you need forgiveness because your sins are great and you realize that there's no way you can pay for all the wrong you've done. But you've heard in this church this morning that someone has paid for that, and it's Jesus Christ. And with a humble heart, you would just say, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive me. Take control of my life. I want to redeem the rest of my time for your honor and glory. Help me start today. Help me to turn from the way I used to live to this new life. I'm not accepting you just as my Savior. I realize you are my Lord, whether I make you that or not. You are Lord, and I'm calling you my Lord. If that's the desire of your heart, we would invite you to the table. Father, we ask your blessings on this time of communion. And Lord, we understand that today we do it in a symbolic way, but one day we will be in your presence passing this around one to another, and we look forward to that time. So bless this, Lord, we pray. It brings honor and glory to your name as we pray in Christ's name. Amen.